Are there really up to 10 billion Earth-like planets out there? There's a new report that claims that. NASA's claiming that right now. Very big claims. We're gonna go through that and see if there's any truth to it. Also, robots compete in DARPA's new Deep Underground Challenge to prep for, you guessed it, alien life, to prep for a hunt for alien life. What are they doing deep underground with robots to prepare for the hunt for alien life? We're going to talk about all that and so much more on today's Peck Report. Boy, we got a lot to get to. It has been a busy week. First off, I want to thank all of the members of Daily Renegade. Thank you for being members, and thank you for contributing to this amazing cause, this amazing ministry, this great company that we're very excited to be a part of. We have some very exciting things coming up for you. We'll talk about some of that a little bit later, but let's jump right into this first story. So, NASA just put out this report that there could be up to 10 billion warm and cozy Earth-like planets in our home galaxy. And this new research supposedly reveals this. So let's go through some of this because those, of course, are very bold claims, but it's NASA, so we're used to getting bold claims like that. But this made headline news. This report comes from Yahoo News. But it says that some of the highlights using data from NASA's planet hunting Kepler telescope, scientists have estimated that one in every four sun-sized stars has an Earth-like planet orbiting it. One in every four. That's how common they think Earth-like planets are. That translates to about 10 billion planets in our galaxy that could hold liquid water, could being the operative word there, which could make them habitable to alien life. You know, this is all just kind of wishful thinking. It's a lot of coulds and maybes. Says understanding how many potential habitable planets exist in potentially habitable planets exist in the Milky Way could help researchers plan future projects to search for signs of alien life. And then you can visit Business Insider's homepage for more stories like this. But I want you to pay attention to how many times it uses words like maybe or could or potentially. Really, basically, what Yahoo News has put up, what really NASA is putting out, is a science fiction story. A cool science fiction story, no doubt, but it's being reported as actual news, yet it's littered with coulds and maybes and hopefullys and somedays. It's littered with all that. And we see that a lot in the news. Now, what I want to pay special attention to, though, is something that we've talked about quite a bit on Peck Report. There seems to be a correlation with big major changes, like historical things, stuff that will make the history books in a few years, in the Middle East, and events like that corresponding with events that occur that inspire what's called cosmic plurality, the idea of cosmic plurality. Cosmic plurality states that we are not alone in the universe, basically. It's basically saying that there are other planets with life out there. Now, are there? I don't know. I don't have any reason to believe there are. I mean, the very few planets that we've been able to actually look at and observe in some way seem pretty inhospitable. The only planet we know of that can support life is Earth. And, you'll hear from scientists, they'll say, well, it's arrogant to think, it's really prideful and arrogant to think that Earth is the only one out of the whole universe. No, it isn't. I've never understood that argument. How is that prideful? Like, how is that arrogant to think? And they all say it as if it's the most profound thing they've ever heard in their lives. It's supposed to be taken as this big, profound thought. It's a really arrogant thought to think that we could be the only. There is nothing arrogant about that. It's a guess based on the evidence that we have. Based on the evidence that we have, Earth is the only habitable planet. Nothing arrogant about it. That's just what it is. Now, when there's more evidence, if evidence ever shows up that suggests that there is life elsewhere, then great. Then we'll have to we'll have to reevaluate our opinion at that point, because there will be evidence to the contrary. Now, Derek Gilbert and I wrote in The Day the Earth Stands Still about this, on this question, would evidence of alien life, whether intelligent or not, would evidence of alien life existing out in the universe, would that shake our faith? You know, is the Christian faith compatible with the idea that alien life might be out there, especially if it was actually proven scientifically? And totally, there's really no conflict. A lot of the conflicts that come up are based on either straw men stuff or like really flimsy things. A lot of it really is based on the image of God. Christians who believe they understand what the image of God really is, then they'll say, well, there can't be alien life because human beings are made in the image of God, not aliens, so alien life can't exist. And that presupposition is filled with problems. And so I've talked about that openly and publicly quite a bit, so you can find those. I'm not going to delve into it too much here, but just to say, I've got a bunch of stuff online if you don't want to get the book. Of course, I suggest you get the book. I'd love it if you did get the book. But Derek and I have done a lot of interviews that you can find online about that if you want to know more about that. But I really like Dr. Michael Heiser's approach to what the image of God is. And if you haven't looked at that, go and check out his research. Just look up Dr. Michael Heiser, Image of God. Look that up on YouTube, and you'll find some cool stuff. But I subscribe to that. I think that's correct. But there does seem to be, regardless if alien life exists out there, the enemy can use that idea of cosmic plurality towards their own goals. Even things that are true can be used for evil, you know. It's true that it's good to have guns and protect yourself, you know, protect your home. But the enemy can still use guns for evil, you know. Of course, we see that in the news all the time. Things that are true can be used can be twisted and used for evil. So, even if aliens do exist, I don't have any reason to believe that they do, because I haven't seen any evidence of it. But let's say that they do, that fact can still be twisted and used by the enemy to deceive people. So the twisting of cosmic plurality into something that deceives people, that seems to correspond with major events in the Middle East, in Israel. I don't know. I mean, I've done a whole presentation on this. I think this actually shows that the Bible is accurate for a lot of reasons, but there does seem to be a correspondence there. So we have seen stories like this coming up in the news more and more and more, and more frequently. I mean, it's like a big deal now. It started in 2017, but it's been ramping up. Now, if that pattern holds true, I expect we're going to be seeing something pretty major involving Israel soon. I would say within a year. The longest gap that I've found between these two types of events was in 1947 and 1948. And that's one of the biggest ones, too. That's when Israel became a nation again, but that's also when we got the Roswell UFO crash. So you get a major event in Israel's history, of course, and a major event that inspires cosmic plurality, thoughts about cosmic plurality. It's not always UFOs. There have been times where it wasn't UFOs, and it was like in ancient times, it would be like a really famous philosopher would talk about life on other planets. But it's something that inspires the thought of cosmic plurality. So we've been seeing more reports like this, like what NASA's putting out about there being these habitable Earths, and that idea inspires cosmic thoughts about cosmic plurality. And of course, like I said, the enemy can use that and twist that. So researchers at Penn State University have used data from NASA's Kepler telescope to estimate the number of Earth-like planets in the Milky Way, and their results, which was published in the Astronomical Journal this week, suggests that an Earth-like planet orbits one in every four sun-like stars. So totaled up, that means that there could be up to 10 billion Earth-like worlds in our home galaxy. Now, that estimate is, according to NASA, an important step in the search for alien life, since any potential life on other planets would most likely be found on an Earth-like world warm enough to hold liquid water. Now, most likely, because we only have one planet to base that off of, and that's Earth. This is the only planet that holds life, and we know that it has water, it's a certain temperature. So, of course, they're going to look for other planets with those qualities in this search for alien life. But again, it's not arrogant to say that there are no other planets like that, because we haven't found one. We still don't know. It's just going based on the evidence. It's a big mystery, you know, we don't know. Even if there was liquid water found, that doesn't mean that there's life. It improves the chances that there could be, I suppose, but it doesn't mean that there's actual life there. You can have water without life. It says, so a better understanding of the potential number of Earth-like planets in the galaxy can inform projects like the Wide Field Infrared Survey Telescope, which will launch into space in the mid-2020s and hunt signs of oxygen and water vapor on distant planets. So Eric Ford, who's a professor of astrophysics and co-author of the new study, told Business Insider, quote, we get a lot more return on our investment if we know when and where to look, end quote. So Ford's team defined an Earth-like planet as being anywhere from 3/4 to 1.5 times the size of Earth and orbiting its star every 237 to 500 days. So that's presumably within the star's habitable zone. You know, Ford describes it as the range of orbital distances at which the planets could support liquid water on their surfaces. And he described that in a press release. So again, it's all estimates. It's all educated guesses, really. That's all it is. We don't know that. We don't really, like, if the Earth was, you know, it's funny too, because a lot of the scientists that are looking into this, they go on and on about climate change and, like, you know, how if we were even 1 degree or 2 degrees warmer or cooler, that it would just throw the planet into disarray. You know, a lot of these scientists are big on that, yet they're going to give these exoplanets, they're going to give them these such a big, huge habitable zone, where they can have orbits from 237 to 500 days. That's a huge, you know, either closer or further away from the sun. That's a huge habitable zone. Yet the Earth can't handle 1 or 2 degrees, rising or cooling. So it's kind of inconsistent. It's like the Earth itself has such a narrow habitable zone that it can't handle it, but these other planets can somehow. So again, it's all guesswork. He said some more. Before we get to that, though, I have to tell you about my good friends over at Coastline Kratom. Now, for those of you who know me, you know I am a chronic pain sufferer, but not so much anymore because I have Kratom and CBD to help get me through the day. And it really does. For me, I take Kratom every day and it's great. It gets me through the day. I don't have to focus and deal with my pain all day. You know, I have a degenerative bone disease, incredibly painful, but Kratom gets me through and I'm able to do this and I'm able to have a job and play with my kids. It's given me my life back. It's great. So Coastline Kratom, it's the highest quality Kratom online today, and they also offer a money-back guarantee. The only catch, the only thing, is because a lot of credit card companies don't want to deal with the sale of Kratom, you do have to set up what's called a Zelle Pay account on their website. It's really super easy. It only takes a second, but you should do it because then you can order as much as you can, because there has been a long-standing interest by those in power to ban Kratom based on a lot of false information. Really, it's because Kratom is a threat to the pharmaceutical industry. It's all about money. So they make up a lot of wild, crazy stories, which I would suggest you go and look into on your own so you can see what's true and what's not. But they are trying to give Kratom a bad name. So if you want to do your own research, the American Kratom Association is a great place to start. They are awesome, and they actually give you the truth, whereas mainstream media is not going to. But anyway, if you want to try this stuff, I recommend Coastline Kratom. I think it's great. You can go to dailyrenegade.com and find the ad there, or you can just click on the link in the description below. But check them out. They are awesome. All right, so... something else that Ford said here, quote, for astronomers who are trying to figure out what is a good design for the next major space observatory, this piece of information is an integral part of that planning process, end quote. So the researchers estimate, their estimation is based on the Kepler Space Telescope. This was launched in 2009, and it's used what's known as the transit method for finding worlds outside of the solar system. So it watches over 530,000 stars for tiny little variations in a star's brightness that could be caused by a planet passing in front of it. So transits, in other words. Now imagine that. That's how they're searching for these things, these just little variation of the star's brightness. How do you go from that? If there's a variation in a star's brightness, that could be caused by other stuff. It could be caused by dust clouds. It could be caused by even our own atmosphere. But apparently they have ways to look around that. But how do you get from that to knowing if a planet is habitable for life, if it has liquid water on it, if it has, you know, all this stuff? It's a pretty far leap, in my opinion. But it says, this work transformed our understanding of the galaxy. So Kepler found more than 2,600 exoplanets. And it revealed that there are many, that there are more planets than stars in the Milky Way. And it gave researchers new insight on the diversity of planet types. The telescope also allowed scientists to confirm for the first time that many exoplanets are similar to Earth. So the telescope retired last year after it ran out of fuel, but it passed the planet hunting torch to the Transit Exoplanet Survey Satellite, or TESS, which launched in April of 2018. You know, it's so funny because the way that scientists look at the universe and other planets, they look at it in relation to human beings. As if, you know, why should there be planets that are habitable for us or for any life out there? You know, why what if that's not the norm? What if we are an outlier? What if the actual rest of the universe has some other purpose? What if God created all the stars and all that stuff for some other purpose that we're just not aware of? I mean, they speak to God's glory. They have purpose in that. I mean, we can look at them with wonder. But, you know, we as human beings, even these scientists, we're really self-centered on how we think about the universe. You know, there's got to be other planets with life and water and out there. Why? Because that would be cool for us, you know, because that would be really interesting if that were true. It would be interesting to go visit another planet and see what it's like, but from what we can tell, based on the evidence that we have, all planets are just dead hellscapes that no living thing could exist on. You know, I mean, what living being is going to live on Venus? That place is a literal hellhole. You know, I mean, it's terrible. So maybe there are other purposes beyond what we as human beings dream up. Maybe there's other reasons those planets exist in the way that they do that has nothing to do with us. What are those reasons? I have no idea, because I'm a human being and it wouldn't have anything to do with me. It would probably be something outside of my understanding or imagination. So I don't know. But all signs point to there not being any other life in the universe. But that is frightening to scientists, because a lot of them don't believe in God. If there is no God, and if we're it, that's horrifying. Then really nothing matters. I mean, nothing matters. I mean, that is your opening straight into the nihilism and suicide. You know, I mean, already, even if life exists in the universe and there was no God, already nothing matters anyway. The universe is going to die eventually in some form or another, and that's it. So what was the point of any of this? What's the point? You know, without eternity, there is no point. But especially if we're the only planet with life. So scientists don't want to admit that. They want to actually cast a moral dispersion on the thought that we're it by saying that it's arrogant, and it's not. It's a perfectly reasonable position to hold based on the available evidence and not based on wishes and imagination. So they focus in on that because it must be true because it's better for human beings if that were true. At least that's what they think. Maybe it's not. Maybe it's better for human beings that we're the only one. Maybe that's better for us. Maybe there's more meaning in that. So there's lots of different ways to think about it, but they're focused on this one. So they're investing a lot of resources trying to hunt for alien life. And I don't know if that is ever going to be realized. It's almost become a religion. And with some researchers and some scientists and stuff, it has become a religion. So it's pretty frightening stuff when you really look at it. Now, if people just want to look at stars and figure out what they are, you know, so be. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I mean, cosmology and all that stuff is very interesting. I find it extremely interesting. But to base your own hope for existence, you know, to base meaning in existence in that search, I think is futile. I think that if that's the reason, it's never going to be realized. Because again, even if we found alien life out there, let's say the scientists got their dreams, they come true, they find a planet that hosts alien life. For one thing, how are we going to get there? Our technology is nowhere near the point where we can actually travel to any of these places. But even if we could, even if we found alien life, what has happened with our own species every time that one foreign tribe comes in contact with another? There's usually war and slavery, and we find it very difficult to get along at first. And then after a really long time and a lot of death, then eventually we can sort of kind of coexist. So what's going to happen if we find a totally different intelligent species that's not even human at all? How much more then is that going to be a problem, either with them or with us or with both? Maybe if God did create life on other planets, and I don't have any reason to believe he did, but if he did, maybe there is a reason why we're separated by so much space. Maybe there's a reason for that. Maybe we're even separated by time. You know, I'm these days I'm kind of a little bit more on the older side than I used to be, but I still appreciate the young Earth position and I understand it. And I think there's very good reason to hold that position. But let's say maybe this is just our time to be the only one. Maybe there were times before Earth or before that where there were other species, but you know, throughout time, and maybe this is just our time. You know, we don't know. There's so much unknown about it. But again, now see, I'm doing it now. I'm just reveling in imagination and stuff. But at least I'm willing to admit it. I have a lot of cool imaginations about how the universe might work and how alien life might work. But I don't let that cross over into actual, like, factual belief, fact based belief. There's no reason to. So, like I said, it is my current belief that God only created us. I don't have a reason to believe that there's life out there in the universe, although I would like there to be, because that would be really interesting. It would show us more of God's grand design. But as cool as it would be, and as much as I personally would like that to be true, there is no reason for me to believe that that's true. So if you want the rest of the story, you can go to yahoonews.com and find that. There's really not much more to it than that. It's really just a lot of could be kind of stuff. But I wanted to use that as a springboard to comment on how we as Christians can look at this issue intelligently and with wonder, with awe, and we don't have to beat each other up over it. We don't have to even beat up scientists over it or look down on them or anything. I get why they want there to be alien life. I get why they want to search for it. I myself would want to search for it too. But especially, the answer to all of this is always going to be Jesus. And I keep going back to that. I mean, we talk about so many different things on Peck Report, but I keep going back to the fact that the answer for all of this, for scientists to have the proper perspective on the alien question, it's always Jesus. That's why, like, my existence, my meaning, my sense of meaning of my own existence does not hinge on alien life. Alien life plays no part in that Why? Because Jesus. Because that's my meaning. I already know my meaning. I already know who and what I am. I'm a creation of God's. I'm a child of God's, and I've been saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. And so with that, that is meaning. And it's religion, of course. It's belief. It's faith. So the alien question, I just don't allow to, I don't allow that to cross over into the faith and belief stuff. I leave it in the realm of imagination, which is fine to do. It's fine to imagine and wonder and all that stuff. But I just maintain that I don't have a real reason to believe anything is out there, you know, any life. So I wanted to comment on that. Now, I talked to you about Kratom already. I got to tell you about CBD Pure and CBD Pets. Yeah, they actually make CBD for your pets. It's amazing. So if you have a cat that's ripping up your furniture, or if you have a dog that gets kind of anxious when there's fireworks or something, or a dog that you have fenced up in the backyard and barks at everybody that dares commit the sin of walking by on the sidewalk. Oh man, those dogs irritate me, I'll tell you. But if you have a pet like that, or even just with some mild anxiety problems, CBD Pet can help. I've heard a lot of people say it's great for that. But I have not used CBD Pets myself I have two cats. I haven't used it on them. One of them I actually probably will start. We have one really calm cat and one cat that's a little rambunctious, but she's not too bad. But I've heard that CBD Pets is excellent for your pets. But I can say on my, you know, my own opinion, I can give you my own opinion on CBD Pure for human beings, because I've tried it. I actually take this stuff every day. I take it an hour before bed and I sleep so good. Also, it really has cut down a lot of my chronic pain. I haven't had to take as much Kratom since taking CBD Pure. Now I will say with CBD, I've learned I had to take it for like a week or two before I started noticing some really good results. So it's one of those that you gotta have kind of build up, it seems like. Not everybody has had that experience, but I did. So if you try it and it doesn't work the first night, stick with it for a couple weeks and just see if there's any improvement after that. The cool thing about CBD Pure and CBD Pets is that they offer a money back guarantee. So if you try it and you just don't like it, you can send it back for a full refund, no questions asked. So you can go to dailyrenegade.com to find that. Also, while you are there, Colloidal Silver has had some a lot of people saying that it's great. Sorry, I got distracted. I have this like this weird border that just like appeared out of nowhere. I think I have to recalibrate my advertisement thing here on my recording program. Here, I'll scooch over a little bit so I'm a little bit more centered. There, that looks a little bit more natural. But Silver of Life is an excellent pure colloidal silver. If you're a colloidal silver fan, you can use it. I'll tell you, I wasn't really a believer in colloidal silver until I tried it for myself when I had a really bad stomach flu, and I was able to get over it faster because of that. It's claimed to be like an immune booster. You can also disinfect your counters with it. It's good disinfectant. It's not full of chemicals or anything like that. It's perfectly safe. But a lot of people take it to not get sick as often. Or when they do get sick, they take it. You just take a cap full of it, drink it. It doesn't have it just tastes like water, really. But a lot of people swear by this stuff. I've found some benefit in it. Christina uses it all the time. So you can find that at dailyrenegade.com, same as CBD and same as Kratom, dailyrenegade.com, or you can just click on the link in the description below. Okay, let me recenter myself here. Now, we have to talk about DARPA and they're actually sending robots into these subterranean, like deep underground spaces to prepare for a hunt for alien life. And we do have to talk about that, but you are going to have to become a member, and you should become a member. Why aren't you a member already? If you're not, our member base is growing exponentially, which is great to see. I love it. You can become a Daily Renegade member today at dailyrenegade.com, and you should. It's only $10 a month or $100 a year, and I suggest getting the annual $100 a year. That might seem like a lot, but with that, you get 2 months for free, You only have to pay it once, and you don't have to think about it for a whole another year. I mean, that's well into 2020 before you're going to have to think about this again. So it's a pretty good deal. I suggest getting that, and you'll be able to save some money. Now, we are making some improvements, a lot of improvements on the website and on the format and everything that we're doing. We're going to be signing up some new shows. It's going to be really good, but it's also very costly. So there might be a chance. I'm going to try to avoid this at all costs, but there might be a chance that we have to increase the membership fee. Now, it won't increase for existing members. So if you already have a membership or if you go and get one today, your rate is going to stay the same. But for new members who decide to wait around and wait till later to get their membership, new members, it might go up in the future. So get it now while it's as cheap as it's ever going to be. Go ahead and get it now. That is thedailyrenegade.com. You get full Peck Report episodes. You get full episodes of Apollineering, of Gary Wayne's Christian Contrarian, Brian Melvin's The Christian Marauder, lots of and many, many other shows. We're also adding some new features. We're going to have a video library, like repository of other videos that that YouTube is deleting from all other researchers and stuff. So it's kind of it's the Netflix of fringe Christianity. It is the Netflix of Christian topics that most mainstream Christianity doesn't want to touch, like questions about aliens and ghosts and, you know, what do we do with all this stuff as Christians? That's what fringe Christian means. So it's the Netflix of that, basically. We have some Daily Renegade originals like Peck Report, what you're watching now, but we're also going to have the Vault, the Daily Renegade Vault, which is going to have. I've already Jim Wilhelmson. He's done a bunch of research into Hollow Earth, which is pretty cool because we're about to talk about DARPA here and this deep underground hunt for alien life. Jim Wilhelmson has already agreed to contribute his videos to the Vault, so you'll be able to find him there and. We're going to be reaching out to a lot of other of your favorite authors and researchers who make some of the best videos that you can find today. We're going to be adding those to the Vault as well. So it's going to be great. Also, if you would like to write for Daily Renegade, you can write articles for Daily Renegade and you'll get a free membership if you're a talented writer, if you're good at writing, and you can provide some content at least once a month that the Daily Renegade audience would enjoy. You can get a free membership. So anybody who contributes to the ministry in that way gets a free membership. You can write articles. Email me at joshpeckdisclosure@gmail.com. You can also find a contact thing at dailyrenegade.com. Email me email me an article, and if I like it, then we'll hook you up. If it's good. So 2,000 words or more, you can put it in a Word document. That'd be great. I'm not going to assign topics, so don't ask. I don't have time. But you should just, if you want to write for the ministry, then you probably already have a feel of what Daily Renegade is all about, what kinds of things people would like, that sort of stuff. We're going to do that. We're going to start in on some article reposts as well, and we're going to have some premium articles that will be available for only members. So you want to get a membership today. We have so many more improvements too, but I don't want to give it all away just yet because we're aggressively working on the website. And pretty soon, I'm going to bring on our web developers from Arc Business to come on the show and you go through everything that you're able to do, and you're going to be able to do a lot. We're also going to be developing a phone app and an app for the TV for all of Daily Renegade content. But again, just like everything else, to be able to fully enjoy all of these perks, you got to be a member. So once more, go be a member at dailyrenegade.com. Okay, let's talk about DARPA and this subterranean challenge, this robotic challenge towards the hunt for alien life. What is this all about? To find out, you do have to become a member, so we are going to say goodbye to people watching for free on Facebook and YouTube. Thank you so much. We love you all. Don't forget to subscribe and click the bell for notifications. And members, hang on the line, and we're going to get to this story for everybody else. Thank you so much. Take care, and God bless. All right, members, thank you for your membership. Thank you for contributing to the ministry and helping us build this together. I love that we're able to do this as a community, and I think that's great. So the headline comes from newatlas.com, and it says, robots compete in DARPA's subterranean challenge to prep for alien life hunt. What a weird headline, right? So it says, this week, and this just happened. This week, DARPA kicks off a competition called the Subterranean Challenge, where hordes of robots, literal hordes of robots, are unleashed into caves and tunnels to test how well they can autonomously navigate these environments. So one team headed up by NASA's JPL, Jet Propulsion Laboratory, is entering a crew of bots that could inform future designs of spacefaring robots that explore caves and lava tubes on other planets and moons. Now, of course, this has sparked all sorts of controversy and conspiracy theories and stuff like that, because there's always been a connection between DARPA, agencies like that, and deep underground military bases and aliens. I mean, there's always been for a long time, well, not always, but there's been for a long time this idea that there are deep underground military bases, which are called DUMs, that are either built to investigate alien life under the earth or that are teeming with alien life themselves. So Phil Schneider is somebody that most people are probably familiar with. If you watch this show, you've probably seen his presentations online where he claimed to have actually been involved in a battle with grays, with alien grays underneath the earth in like a cavern or something in one of these bases. And it's a provoking story for sure. But could this have anything to do with why DARPA is now showing a public interest in this? You know, a lot of times these agencies will put us through what's called soft disclosure. They'll give us a little bit of the truth and see how we react. And if we're good, if we react well, if we behave, then they might give us a little bit more. And what that means is basically if we don't call them out on the horrible, evil things that they're doing. So that's why, like, for example, that's why we're getting a lot more disclosure stuff with the alien question. Government agencies are releasing more information and more files and more videos about stuff that they've seen. And now they're publicly investigating UFOs. It's because when they started releasing this stuff in 2017, there wasn't a big public backlash. There wasn't a big public outcry. You know, the public wasn't coming against the government and saying, "How could you be? We knew you were lying to us, and you know you're all fakes and frauds, and you know we don't trust you." And that didn't happen. Most people didn't really care. So they thought, okay, well the public is behaving. Let's give them a little more. And so that's what they're doing. I mean, ultimately, behind the scenes, the enemy is pulling the strings, and it's all in order to deceive us. Like we said in the first part of the show, it's this question, this idea of cosmic plurality can be used to deceive people, and it is. So we might be seeing an example of that here, because this kind of runs right along lines of the question about deep underground military bases and DARPA's involvement in that, and you know, are we housing alien life down there, or even on the extreme, the more extreme, is there a literal hollow earth type scenario? So I don't know, but it's a strange story, and it's strange that there's no public outcry for this against this at all, because it just seems like they're just building robots to go search for stuff. And it's strange too, like, why would you need a robot to search for alien life under the crust of any planet or moon? You know, there's a connection with alien beings and, like, underground. There's always been a connection with that. You would think that if you're going to search for alien life, you would search on the surface, because that's where human beings live. We live on the surface of our planet. Wouldn't it stand to reason that other aliens would live on the surface of their planet too? Maybe, but for some reason, there's like this unconscious connection that we all make between alien grays, or really a lot of alien species, and underground, like subterranean. It very well could be because these things come from the bowels of the earth where hell is located. You know, it could be because of that. And we all just kind of unconsciously, know that in our spirits, even if we don't admit to it openly or recognize it consciously. But there does seem to be that type of thing. So that might be what's driving this. I think they know just kind of intrinsically that if they want to find other beings, other intelligent beings, they're going to have to go underground. Because they're demonic. But it says the DARPA Subterranean Challenge was designed to help plug an apparent gap in the ability of robots and autonomous systems to navigate underground environments. This includes natural cave networks, which have irregular terrain in both constrained and large caverns, artificial tunnel systems with long passages, vertical shafts and multiple levels, and urban underground environments like subway systems, which can have complex layouts over multiple stories. To help simulate innovation in this area, DARPA is putting out the call to teams of engineers and scientists at institutions and companies all over the world. There's over $5 million in prize money. That's a big prize award there. Prize money, $5 million up for grabs for the teams that can successfully map these environments, avoid the hazards, and retrieve hidden items as proof. So there's obviously a big incentive to develop this technology if they're willing to award $5 million in prize money to whatever team is able to pull this off. There's obviously, that's a lot of money, and there's incentive here. So it says the first test running this week is the tunnel circuit. In this, teams must map old mining tunnels and find certain objects hidden inside, such as phones and heated mannequins. No humans are allowed in the tunnels, and teams have to send in robots of their own design to do the dirty work for them. The winner is the team that marks the location of the most objects accurate within 16.4 feet or 5 meters. Now, with DARPA at the helm, the most promising technology from the competition will most likely be put to work in defense scenarios. That's what they say. But the organization also says the first responders could benefit sending robots into potentially hazardous underground environments to search for survivors of disasters or locate gas leaks. Now, that again is what they always do. I have no doubt that DARPA has a bunch of secret hidden stuff that they want to use this technology for. And I'd be willing to bet that they already have a lot of this technology and they're looking for young blood. They're looking for new recruits. They're looking for somebody who's smart enough to be able to develop it even further. I have no doubt about that. I mean, pretty much everybody kind of figures that DARPA has some secret stuff going on. But this is what they always do. Not only DARPA, but every agency that wants to do something in every field, they always hide it behind a humanitarian effort. We talked about this recently with organ donation. We talked about it recently with a lot of medications and vaccines and stuff, medical stuff. Well, here it is too. Transhumanism and biohacking even. They always hide it under humanitarian efforts. So then they can say, well, if you're not on board, you must be or they can imply at least, if you're not on board, you must be a terrible person. I mean, come on, don't you want survivors of disasters to be found? Wouldn't you like to be able to locate gas leaks so people don't die? Well, of course, but those of us who are cautious, we understand the human condition and we know it's not going to stop at the humanitarian efforts. You can't predict how something will be used based on the good intentions around it. You have to look ahead and predict. You have to think about how it could be misused, how it could be abused, because it always will. Any new technology will always be abused by somebody. Any new technology will always be somebody who is going to misuse it, who's going to use it for the worst of intentions. The internet is a great example of that. We have a lot of good things that have come from the internet, a lot of great world-changing things. We can evangelize, we can spread the gospel in a way that we've never been able to before. You don't even have to leave the house anymore. And you can spread the gospel to hundreds and thousands and millions of people because of the internet. But it's also used for some of the most horrific things imaginable, sex trafficking, and even on the lighter side of the worst things possible, pornography, the sale of drugs, and I mean, it's used for some of the most horrific things that the human mind can conjure up. Yet there's also been great good too. So that's how you have to look at any new technology. You can't just look at the good intentions, and we all know that. But that's what they always put. They almost never will say how something can be misused. Something like this could be misused in a number of ways, you know, if we're being creative about it. But you also have to see how this type of technology could develop and become more powerful, and then how that could be misused. Just like the internet, we now have the Internet of Things, where your whole house can be wired with the internet, and then basically your whole house is spying on you. Your privacy is gone at that point. So I mean, it's a big topic and there's a lot to talk about, but I do believe that DARPA is up to something here. I mean, I don't trust DARPA as far as I can throw it, and I can't throw it at all because DARPA is an organization and not a physical thing you can pick up and throw. So I don't trust DARPA at all. Never have. Many of you are on my side with that, I imagine. So we're going to have to keep an eye on this story and see how it develops. And we, of course, will do that at Peck Report. But for now, there is obviously a lot more to get to, but we got to call it quits for now. We are out of time, but I want to thank you all so much for joining me on yet another Peck Report. It has been great getting to spend some time with you, and until next time, take care and God bless.